Bugs Bunny at the Symphony has been described as a spectacular fusion of classic Warner Brothers cartoons projected on the big screen, accompanied by their original scores, played live by the West Australian Symphony Orchestra. Some of the world's most popular Looney Tunes characters, Daffy Duck, Elmer Fudd, Porky Pig and, of course, Bugs, are set to feature in classics such as What's Opera, Doc?, The Rabbit of Seville, Long-Haired Hare, A Corny Concerto, and many more favourites this Friday and Saturday. Bugs Bunny at the Symphony is the creation of conductor and Emmy Award winner George Doherty, who has conducted almost every major American symphony orchestra, as well as a long list of international ensembles. George joins us in the studio this morning to tell us more. Welcome to Sunshine FM.
I'm happy to be here.
It's been a long time coming because you were just telling me before you've been in Australia for a few weeks, but you had to head back home for a few days.
Yes, I've been in Australia since the end of April. We did a week at the Sydney Opera House, and we were with the Adelaide Symphony and elsewhere. And then I had to go back to San Francisco for 3 days. And so that was a 15-hour flight back to San Francisco. And then yesterday I took the 16-hour flight back and then got on the flight to Perth. So I feel like the coyote has hit me on the head with an Acme shovel today.
Now, this particular show came out of the very successful Bugs Bunny on Broadway. How did you come up with that concept? I know you've been asked many times before, but how did you come up with the concept of marrying a symphony orchestra concert with a cartoon marathon?
Well, you know, I really didn't come up with the concept of marrying these classical masterpieces with this great animation, because that was the whole genesis of, you know, these cartoons. Almost every single Looney Tunes score from the 1930s, 40s, and 50s is full of classical music. I had the ridiculous idea of deciding to try to do it in a live concert hall with a live symphony orchestra. And because, you know, I think almost everybody in the English-speaking world, whether they want to admit it or not, got their first exposure to opera and classical music and even ballet from Bugs Bunny and the Looney Tunes. And it's just a huge part of our cultural id and everything that we kind of have inside our heads. You know, when if you'd go out on the street anywhere and in any major city, and you know, I could go out in Perth this afternoon and stand in the middle of the CBD and go bum 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 bum. What are you thinking of? And one person would say Wagner, and nine people would say Kill the Wabbit, Kill the Wabbit. And that's sort of is, so I wanted to pay homage to all that in a live concert. And I figured out very quickly 20 years ago that, you know, it wouldn't be enough just to play the music, that we had to show the animation. And that's what people will see when they come to the Burswood Theatre. They'll see the entire West Australia Symphony Orchestra sitting on stage, and above it a big screen filled with those characters that you just mentioned, Mr. Bunny and Mr. Duck and Maestro Fudd and the whole gang.
Now, I mean, those cartoons just have such a rich heritage with the symphonies playing behind them and the amazing way that all came together. But I guess if we look across a whole range of entertainments, we look at movies, we look at television, do you think that people often miss the point of or miss what a big role music plays in so much of our entertainment? You put scary music behind a fairly innocent scene and suddenly it becomes scary.
Well, you're absolutely right. I've actually done I've taught a number of master classes at various colleges about film scoring. And one of the exercises I always love to do is just to take any film clip. I mean, you can name any film clip from any major movie and give it to the students and then have them score it five different ways. And you can take any scene and completely change the entire feeling that the audience gets just by changing the music. Or you can look at the Quidditch game from Harry Potter without the sound on, and you'll see what a gigantic influence John Williams' music has on the excitement of that scene. I mean, it's still visually great, but without the music, it's pretty tame. And people come to this concert and they say that they'll never be able to look at cartoon music the same way, because when you have an entire live symphony orchestra playing the scores right in front of you, it really brings the music to life in a way that you don't experience when you're seeing them in a more conventional way. And so that's the excitement of, you know, of what we do. It's very exciting with the audiences really discovering what the other thing that they discover also is that so many of the sound effects, which they assume are sound effects, are actually made by the orchestra. The music and the sound effects in these cartoons are so linked. It's really exciting to see that.
It's interesting when you see people going along to any kind of classical music concert for the first time because they think, oh, I'm not really into classical music and I'm not going to enjoy it so much, but I, you know, have to come along. Someone's asked me. And then they start realizing that they recognize a lot of the music. And I'm sure that this is going to happen again when people come along to this concert, to this show, and they see the cartoons. And it's like, yeah, that's how I remember it. But, I mean, it's so intricate the way that the cartoons and the music just marry together. I'm imagining that the people that put the cartoons together originally must have had a brilliant mind for music.
They did have a brilliant mind. There were two composers, one named Carl Stalling and one named Milt Franklin, and they were absolutely extraordinary. And, you know, this was back in a day and age where every studio in Hollywood had a full symphony orchestra that came to work every day. So there was the Fox Orchestra, the legendary MGM Orchestra, Universal, all of these places. And Warner Brothers had one of the great, great orchestras. In fact, the Warner Brothers Symphony Orchestra eventually became the Los Angeles Philharmonic. And so there's always been that tie to classical music. And so the big orchestras played for all the big films like Casablanca and The Maltese Falcon and all that, but they played for every one of the cartoons. They made almost 2,000 cartoons during the golden era of 1930 to 1961, and every single one of them had an original score played by a full orchestra. They didn't repurpose the music like, you know, today. And so these composers wrote just a prolifically huge amounts of music, and they loved to quote from the classical composers as well as tons of popular songs of the day. These cartoons were a little bit like MTV in their day. They were right on the edge of popular culture back then. The songs that were in the cartoons, the popular songs, were right at the edge of their popularity at that moment. We look at them as being very retro now, but at the time, they were pop culture to the extreme. And but the way they use the classical music, like when you look at What's Opera, Doc, you know, the one that everyone kind of thinks of when they think of this whole kind of genre, and which we do in this concert as our huge finale, Carl Stalling and Milt Franklin took the entire Ring cycle, which is normally 41 hours and four nights, or longer, depending on the age and the weight of the conductor. And in addition to that, Tannhäuser, Lohengrin, Rienzi, and The Flying Dutchman. So eight Wagner operas, that would be about 120 hours of opera. And they condensed it into 6 minutes and 40 seconds, which a lot of people think is the way to actually experience eight Wagner operas. But they did it with such skill. There's nothing cartoony about the music. It is done in its full Wagnerian glory. Musicians love to play this. We've done this with some incredible orchestras, Philadelphia Orchestra, the Cleveland Orchestra, and of course this weekend, the West Australian Symphony Orchestra. We've been waiting for years to get to Perth. And the musicians love playing this music because it's not beneath them. It's not, you know, it's not a parody. It's the real thing. It's brilliantly realized, and that's why audiences and musicians, and that's why everybody loves doing it and loves hearing it.
So while it's been distilled down to shorter bites, it's not actually been dumbed down for the audience.
And there's nothing disrespectful about the way that, you know, What's Opera, Doc is done in gigantic, huge Wagnerian, you know, largesse. And then the Rabbit of Seville, which is, you know, their version of the Barber of Seville, is done totally in the Rossini style with a smaller orchestration that is completely, totally Rossini-esque in the way they did it. So these guys were very knowledgeable. And that's what makes it possible for me to have done it for 20 years. You know, if this stuff was, you know, I don't want to use the word that is coming to mind over the radio, but if this stuff was bad music, it would be really hard to do it for 20 years. But I just, you know, I love being surrounded by all this brilliant music. You know, I'm just the caretaker. I didn't write any of this music. I didn't arrange it. So I can, when I laud it, I'm not being egotistical because, you know, this is the work of other people. I'm just kind of taking care of it.
And back then, back 20 years ago, when you first had this idea of putting it together and in this live show, did you get anyone thinking, oh, that's nice, they're doing something with an orchestra for the kids? Do they realize right from the start that this is something that everyone is going to love?
Well, there were many different reactions. We, you know, today there's all kinds of film and orchestra concerts. They're all over the place now. We were sort of the first one. We were definitely the first one that was this complicated because, you know, people had done some silent movies before. They'd done some Charlie Chaplin or some, you know, the Napoleon, Abel Gance with orchestra. But no one had ever done a concert where there is live dialogue and sound effects coming from the film and the orchestra is trying to stay in sync to all of that in a, you know, in a live concert setting. People were wondering if we were crazy, and people were also wondering if it could actually be done. Technology has changed a lot in 20 years. I mean, 20 years ago, you know, nobody had email addresses yet. There was no iTunes. There were no iPods. There were, you know, computer. Nobody, you know, most people didn't have computers in their houses. It was a lot of hard work. We, you know, we carried projectors around, video projectors that were the size of refrigerators when we first started this, and had to be water cooled. The first time that we did this concert at the Hollywood Bowl with these gigantic water-cooled video projectors, nobody took into consideration that 18,000 people would go to the bathroom at intermission. The water pressure dropped and our projectors almost exploded. We almost had an we almost had an international incident. Now it's a lot easier to do these, but so people wondered about just the viability of actually doing it. And then there was, who would the audience be? We were really surprised at the very beginning because we did expect a lot of kids. Our first audience is in New York on Broadway, and even when we first came to Australia at the Sydney Opera House, the first three times we came to the Sydney Opera House, you couldn't find a kid in the audience. The kids were all between the ages of 25 and 50. Now on this tour in Australia, it's the fourth or fifth time we've been back to Sydney. It's the third time we went to Adelaide. These kids now are bringing their kids. So suddenly we have more kids because our original audience has procreated and they're bringing them. The great thing about this concert, it's perfect for kids. It's perfect for adults. These cartoons play in two different ways. Kids see them as colorful, exciting, very visual, very in your face. Adults see the subtleties and the double entendres, and it becomes a whole different thing. You don't have to know anything about classical music to love this because the cartoons are completely perfect at face value. But for people who do know something about classical music, so for experienced classical music audiences, it's great because they get the inside jokes. So it's one of those few, you know, properties that really plays well to a hugely wide demographic. But I love it because it brings people to the symphony for the first time. A lot of people who've never been to a live symphony concert will come to this because they want to see the cartoons. Mm. Then they hear an incredible symphony orchestra like Wasso, which they've never experienced before. And then they come back to, you know, a more traditional concert. So that was sort of one of my reasons for wanting to do it in the first place, was to, you know, bring people into the fold who may not have done it before.
Now, at a traditional concert, the way it generally goes is we sit down very neatly and we're very, very, very quiet until the end of the piece,
right.
And then there's rapturous applause. Tell us a bit of how different is it when you're performing this show?
Well, normally when you're conducting a purely classical music concert, it's not a good thing if the audience is riotously laughing while you're playing. That's something that you usually want to avoid as a conductor or as a classical musician. But in this case, we really want the audience participation because, first of all, this concert affords the audience a really rare opportunity to see these cartoons in the environment that they were created for. They were meant to be seen in theaters with large audiences. They weren't meant to be seen. You know, television hadn't been invented yet, certainly not videotapes, certainly not DVDs, certainly not a 74-inch plasma screen in your living room. Chuck Jones and Friz Freleng and Tex Avery, they made these cartoons for movie theaters. So they're timed for the laughter and the applause and the reaction of a live audience. And also, they're made to be seen on a big screen. When you see it on a huge screen, there's all kinds of things that you see that you didn't see it on a small video screen or on your iPod. So that's, you know, but the audience reaction is essential. So we don't want people to behave. We want people to react.
And there you go. You've got license.
Yes. Laugh. Shout out the lines. Sing along. We've had people show up we've had rabbit ears by the thousands at this point. We normally have a large contingent of people in Brunhilde horned helmets with pigtails, you know, in homage to Bugs Bunny and What's Opera Doc. We've had carrot corsages. We've had everything. It is the Rocky Horror Picture Show of classical music in its own way, and Bugs certainly cross dresses as often as you know the the hero slash heroine of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. So it's not that different. The music's better. Our music's better.
It sounds like it's going to be an absolute blast, and I wish we could just talk about it all day, but we've got to move on. But
that's fine.
But George, it's been a real delight to talk to you, and looking forward to seeing Bugs Bunny at the symphony that's coming up at Burswood Theatre Friday and Saturday. Thank you for spending so much time with us today.
It's my pleasure.
Thank